Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? I love to hear that. I love to hear that. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know what I'm getting ready to ask you? Where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about it, Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we had a good time with our Pastor Charlene and our Minister AJ. Our Pastor Ed was under the weather. And so they just held it down with me all by themselves. Yes, and the question that surfaced yesterday was what? Who told you that you could correct the pastor? Yes. Oh, well, come on. Where do you draw the line? Oh, my goodness gracious. Where do you draw the line? You're telling the pastor what to do. Well, we gave you a little help yesterday, because we do understand that there are times when these things may need to go on, that you may need to have a conversation with the pastor, not that you telling him or her what to do, but just basically that you're having a conversation with you, okay? And we talked about things such as, when you're going to approach the pastor, remember that it may not only be you. Yes, if the dust has been sprinkled all around that congregation, yeah, it may not just be you approaching the pastor. So they say, think about the frequency in which this could be happening. You know, so you go in there today, and then another 2 days later, somebody else is going in. Another 5 days later, somebody else is going in. Then another 1 day, and every time the pastor turns around, somebody else is correcting him or her. Yeah, you know, then you may get a little answer that you may not be prepared for, because every time they turn around, somebody's there. Okay. They also say, do not approach your pastor saying, people are saying. Yeah, you know, no. You don't want to do that. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the pastoral team brought up the fact that, you know, hey, you know, that ain't really no people. That's you. And nobody else but you and your opinion. And I said, well, are you alluding to the fact that y'all ain't got this conversation going? Yeah, people are talking. Okay, well, I need to find out. You know, people are saying. Okay, let's see what else. Let's get one more. Well, ultimately, I like this one. They say, don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Yeah, you know, don't be so quick, you know, to do what everybody else does, you know, what everybody else is doing. You know, it may not be for you to have that conversation with the pastor. No, think about it. It may not be your turn to say anything. So, you know, remember at the end of the show, I said pray. Pray and speak to God and make sure that, you know, if you are going to your pastor to say anything, that it's something that you should be saying, okay? Period. Yes, just like that. That's why I was quiet. Period. You know, just make sure that you're in line. You know, some scripture was thrown out yesterday. You know, just make sure, you know, you watch over those who watch over you, who have been assigned to watch over to you. You know, who watches over you. You know, you don't want to stir them up in any manner because it will not be of benefit to you. You know, by the time you need them, you know, everybody don't bounce back the same way. Now, I know it's supposed to be leaders. I understand. But again, don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. And how you can guarantee that happening is when you go to the Lord and you consult God about the situation. You know, pray for the pastor. Pray for the congregation. And that's how you can really be a part of the solution. Okay? Okay. Well, today is Wow Wednesday. Yes, we have safely made it through the middle of the week. Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's already here. We're already, tomorrow, God's spirits will be on the other side of the week already. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's Wow Wednesday, and you know how it goes down here. It's power-packed and loaded. There's our girlfriend, Viv, with the socially conscious segment. We got our women of worship. We have our techie talk. And finally, at the end of the morning, we have our faith over fear segment. Okay? So, you know, I need to make sure that you've got it all together and that you're not too busy where you're stirring all around in the morning because you may miss something when you're stirring around. Yes. So, you know, kind of see if you can sit still or get those headsets in and, you know, then get all of that stuff together. Okay? Because, you know, you don't want to miss anything today. Today is always power-packed with information and conversation and all kinds of good stuff, okay? So, you know, we're getting ready to take that break. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right, you're going to get that healthy breakfast. You're going to text, you know, your people and let them know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And let me get you that number, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. And you're going to let them know that we're on. And again, you're going to sit still because you don't want to miss a thing. We'll be right back.
Like all parents, Baby Jack's mom and dad want him to be healthy. That's why they make sure he's vaccinated on time. When a germ gets into Jack's body, it can multiply, causing an infection. His immune system responds by creating antibodies and infection-fighting cells. But there are some diseases his body cannot handle. That's why Jack needs vaccines. They provide long-lasting protection from 14 serious diseases. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vaccine/parents.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you again. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and today is Wednesday. Yes, God has been so gracious to usher us into another day, and we've arrived at the middle of the week already. These weeks are flying by. Already, you know, into April. Before you know it, it'll be the summertime. Okay, so let's get our day started and say good morning to our girlfriend, Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. Well, thank you.
I'm well, thank you.
That's good, that's good, that's good. What you got for us today?
Okay, today on Socially Conscious, let's get to those COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are, number one is Michigan, again, with 45,192 cases in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 9,000 cases since last week's report. Number two is Florida with 36,763 cases in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 1,000 cases since last time we reported. Number three is New Jersey with 30,543 new cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of 693 cases since last week's report. Number four is Pennsylvania with 30,337 cases in the last 7 days. Pennsylvania has not been in our top five in quite a while. And last, number five is New York State with 27,668. That is an increase of 600 cases since last time we reported. And now we have an update on the former officer Derek Chauvin's case. Again, the trial is still going on. So I ran, I ran through some articles and videos from the trial and chose some of the most outstanding things that have been said throughout the past week, starting with the police lieutenant who testified that the force against George Floyd was quote unquote uncalled for. And that's from the police lieutenant. Another notable quote comes from the police chief who said, once there was no longer any resistance and clearly George Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force was certainly not part of the training. A EMT who leads the Minneapolis Police Department Emergency Medical Response Training told the jurors that policy requires police to call ambulance and, most importantly, render medical aid in critical situations. Another notable quote coming from the use of force coordinator himself. So he is the man who trains police on what to do and how to apply force when necessary. And he said, restrained suspects should be put in recovery position as soon as possible to allow them to breathe. And he also said, quote, when you further restrict their ability to move, it can further restrict their ability to breathe, end quote. And that is a very important quote because we have Chauvin's attorney, his level of questioning and his the way that he was trying to word things. That quote comes into play. He said things like he defined the word chokehold and says that his client did not use a chokehold but a neck restraint. And he asked questions to solidify his defense that Mr. Chauvin did not kill George Floyd and ultimately did nothing wrong, which we know that is his job. But he went as far as to say that former officer Chauvin's knee was not on Mr. Floyd's neck, but was in fact on Mr. Floyd's shoulder by the time the paramedics arrive. So he's really trying to clear Chavez from any wrongdoing, and that's why the force coordinator himself said what he said about even if his knee wasn't on his neck, which we all know that it was, if you're restricting somebody from moving, you can restrict them from breathing. So the trial is still underway. A lot of people have taken, you know, taken the seat, and no real information going on, just a lot of people's opinions, some facts and things like that. So I will, of course, keep you updated as the trial continues. In other news, police are looking for any information involving an apparent murder-suicide in Brooklyn, New York. A 9-year-old girl called 911 after her father shot and killed 3 people, including her mother, in Brooklyn on Monday evening. At around 11 p.m., police arrived at the scene to find 3 people dead in an apartment and the gunman, Joseph McCrimmon, dead with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to his head in a walkway near the apartment. The victims found in the apartment have been identified as Rashida, age 45, Soli Spears, age 20, and Chloe Spears, age 16. And lastly, we have an interesting health story. A 16-year-old girl named Angie Gayton is beating leukemia with a healthy change to her diet. And I thought this story was very interesting because we have Pastor Steph, who comes in daily with a list of healthy foods that help different parts of our body. Well, there's a study currently going on in Los Angeles where they took a group of 40 children with cancer, including Miss Angie, and who are receiving chemotherapy, and asked them to eat healthy and to exercise a little bit. And they found that with just moderate changes in their diet and increasing exercise a bit, that chemotherapy was able to be more effective in those children, which lowered their chances of having the cancer return, and it made it less likely for that to happen for these children. So Miss Angie is now a junior in high school and has been cancer-free for more than 2 years. So we might be a little bit behind Minister AJ with getting our diet in order, but if you haven't started yet, you definitely should. And now for our wow story of the week. Maybe you've all heard of SIDS, which is Sudden Infant Death Syndrome. It is a sudden, unexpected, and unexplained death of an apparently healthy baby, but mostly occurs between birth and 6 months of age. Well, now there is Sudden Adult Death Syndrome, also known as Sudden Arrhythmic Syndrome. And there's a young lady by the name of Danielle Riley who is working hard to spread the knowledge because she lost her 31-year-old husband, Andy Key, almost 4 months ago when he collapsed and died in their bathroom, leaving behind her and their 2-year-old son. Andy's autopsy confirmed that he did indeed die of sudden adult death syndrome. Andy was a healthy man. No preconditions, no heart problems. Virtually, there was nothing wrong with him, and he just collapsed and died. Now, this is a wild story to me because I never knew that sudden death syndrome of any kind goes beyond infants, but apparently, each year in the United States, 21,000 Americans die to sudden adult death syndrome. Experts are saying that the only warning signs for this is family history. If you have anyone in your family who unexpectedly and unexplainably died under the age of 40, you may be at risk. Other signs include fainting or seizures during exercise, excitement or startle, persistent or unusual chest pain or shortness of breath during exercise. And the last two are very common signs of a lot of other health issues, so I'm not sure how much that would help. But I was really surprised to find this story and to find out that sudden adult death syndrome is a thing. So I just wanted to come and spread awareness. This has been Vivian with the Socially Conscious, giving you the news we're following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you'd like to submit, you can direct message me on Facebook. My username is Vivian B.M. and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you to all of our listeners who send us stories, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian, for our news. And so all of the numbers went up this week, even
just
as
about,
small
yeah.
as, you know, 600 or 800 more people here in New York, which is showing mm-hmm. that this big vaccine is, A, maybe not doing the job that it should be doing, or it was just so out of control that even with the vaccine, these are our numbers. So mm-hmm. that's compliments of all of the spring breakers, and then
right.
traveling back home and now infecting other people, because those numbers were under control. So that, I mean, it makes you think that, okay, so when we think we're going to be fine, then are we going to have another, you know, outbreak of this thing again, because everybody is now resuming normal activity? I don't know
mm-hmm.
what you think.
I think that because I came across a story where a lady got her two vaccine shots, and she thought she was good. She went to a family reunion. She did not wear a mask, and she got COVID. So my thought is that maybe people are getting it and thinking that they're okay and not realizing that they're not 100% out of the woods just because you've gotten it. So maybe people are becoming more lenient and, you know, not taking the proper precautions. And that's why our numbers are going up, because a lot of people have gotten their vaccine, but the numbers are still going up. So something ain't adding up. So that's my theory.
Well, you're right. Well, because there have been many news articles from the health department that says, we know you got the vaccine, but please put that mask
yes.
on. You know,
uh-huh.
so it is something that they have from the inception of them even giving the vaccine. They still have said that you're not, because they haven't been able to test, you know, that yet. And they have a whole slew of people who have received,
right.
The vaccine, but yet they have gotten the COVID-19 anyway. So we can't
right.
assume that those things are going to be, you know, that things are going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. And I don't know, when did this shoving, this mess you got here, which is annoying, because, you know, I always say, how do you even sleep at night when you take
right?
on this defense attorney job? And you know that was the biggest issue in this case, Vivian, where he had his knee on his neck. Video
uh-huh.
shows everything, and now this is on his shoulder. And how do you sleep at night knowing that you just lied to get these people off the hook?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Even if it wasn't a lie, because he pinpointed like one moment in a video that he saw where he's like, well, look, his knee is not on his neck right here. His knee is on his shoulder. But it's like, come on. We clearly see that throughout the duration of the video, his knee was on this man's neck. Even if for a moment he shifted and knee landed on his shoulder, his knee was on his neck for a majority of that time. So it's just,
right.
it was that part was really crazy to me.
Well, again, anything to get your you know, your client off, and I couldn't have that kind of job where, you know, I'm going to say whatever I need to say or shift the blame, or he's guilty. And, you know, I've seen just a couple of attorneys, Vivian, who would say, you know, it's clear what the client has done, you know, because
uh-huh.
we have video or whatever the situation is. So my goal is just to get him off of death row, you know, or get him life without parole, maybe get him life, you know, with parole, because after a certain time he'll still have, you know, some time to live his life or whatever. I mean, they go that route. It's like, okay, I can't say he
right.
didn't do it. You know, but let me just try to find a lenient sentence, you know, other than the one he can get. I don't get it. I don't get it. And your wow story, refresh my memory, Vivian. I'm trying to follow you. I'm slipping here.
Death syndrome.
Yes. And I thought as you were talking, thank you. As you were talking, I was remembering, you know, each time, my children have big gaps in between them, as you know. And each time, you know, you would have, I had a child, then they would say, okay, don't put them on their back to sleep because of SIDS. And then you have the next child, well, don't put them on the back, put them on the side. Don't put them on the side, put them on the stomach. Don't put them on the stomach. It's like you were just flipping your children all around in the crib because, you know, there was always that position that they say caused, you know, sudden, you know, infant death syndrome. And now that, you know, they're saying that adults have it, I believe it. I do believe that there are people who die who are supposedly very healthy and they just die. I believe it. I believe it. What do you think?
I mean, I could believe it. I just didn't know that it was a thing for adults. They said that the man was just in his bathroom, you know, preparing for the day, and he just collapsed and died. That's completely different from sudden infant death syndrome where they die in their sleep. So that's a scary thought that somebody can just be relatively healthy and relatively fine and then just collapse for no apparent reason.
Yeah. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I mean, it seems quote unquote weird, but in actuality, it ain't all that weird. Because they're over to me. There's just going to be things that people may die of that they may never really find out why. That's just my crazy, my crazy thinking. But thank you so much, Vivian, for our wow and news and our socially conscious segment, and thank you for engaging in conversation with me. Have a wonderful day.
No problem. You too. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. All right. So, you know, we have our stories for this morning, and I keep seeing this story in the news, and it says, I'm sure you all have seen it because I've been seeing it and I've just been bypassing it, about the two New York City doormen accused of standing by as the Asian woman was attacked. Well, they have been fired. Yay! Now, I know they may not, you know, stop, you know, rejoicing, but it's tiring already. It's tiring. And, you know, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I talked about, you know, or Monday, either one, can't remember all the time. You know, the story that, you know, now because of the George Floyd issue and what has happened, they are now being held accountable to speak up. You know, no more of this blue wall of silence. You have to do something. You cannot just stand by, especially these people who hold positions where you're supposed to be protecting us. How? How are you supposed to be protecting us and you're just standing behind the pole, peeking, standing behind a wall, pretending like you don't see anything? You know, as in the, you know, George Floyd, they stood right there and watched. Well, finally now, they're starting, you know, and listen, if we get two out the batch, I'm fine. It's something. Yes, should it be more? Absolutely. But whatever amount of justice, I'll take it because it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. It's inhumane. And, you know, we all know that God sees what we do, and we will definitely, you know, have to address, you know, he will definitely address it here or now or later. But the problem is, you know, it's been allowed too long. It's been allowed too long here, you know, with you know, the judicial system. And, you know, too bad it just was not addressed much earlier. Much earlier. It's sad because it's about that time, you know. And they say that these men, they watched and they did nothing until after the attacker left, after the man was stomping the woman all in her head. And, you know, they did nothing. And now all of a sudden they're going to jump out and come, and now they're going to flag down a police vehicle. And they said that they did nothing, no emergency or safety protocols. It was just a free fall. Okay? So, you know, it's thank you. Thank you. They have been fired. And they should be banned from having any type of position like that ever. Ever, ever, ever. Yeah, does it sound harsh? Yeah. But, and it has nothing to do with vengeance. It's, now you're going to save other people, you know, from being assaulted while you watch. And now you can give someone else that opportunity to do the job. Who wants to be there to serve and protect in any manner they're supposed to? Okay, so that's Pastor Steph's take on it this morning. And I want to welcome you again to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we're getting ready to say good morning to our wonderful women of worship. So let's say good morning to Elder Natisha. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning, my lovely lady. How are you today? Hello? Can you hear me? I guess we have a technical difficulty. I can't hear you, Pastor Steph. I hear the music. If I knew how to scat, I would start scatting. I don't know how to scat. Well, it's Wednesday morning, and we are excited to be back doing what we do, sharing the word of the Lord with everyone while we, you know, try to figure out what's going on here. Okay, the music has stopped.
Well, good morning, Elder Natisha. Good morning, as always. You know, when we start talking now, we get nice and interrupted, so I apologize for the delay. Okay, well, we're back right now. Okay.
Well, good. I'm happy to be talking to you.
Well, same here. Thank you very much for your patience. And nobody else was mic'd, so you were left to talk by yourself. So, how are you today anyway?
I'm doing well, thank God. I'm excited about the warm weather that's coming soon.
Well, me too. Once you start seeing the sun, it just changes your whole entire attitude. So I, too,
it
am
really
excited.
Does.
I'm too excited. Okay, so we're talking about yesterday I brought up, what do you call this thing here, the news story about how they have flipped the requirement that if you are standing around and you are in law enforcement and you see your partner or other police officers doing wrong, that you are required now to report it. And now we see this too, the two doormen who watched the Asian lady, you know, get attacked
mm-hmm.
and did nothing, that now they have been fired. So I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Well, what say you?
You know, I do think that, you know, it's time for us to begin to open our mouths when we see things like this happen. A hate crime is a hate crime. And, you know, we can't declare that Black Lives Matter without also declaring that Asian Lives Matter as well. So, yeah, I am happy that that is really being taken seriously across the board.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Me too. I'm really happy that they're addressing this issue and, you know, just move on out the way. If you don't want to, you know, help protect people, move out the way or be moved out the way so
mm-hmm.
that someone else who's willing to do the job can get that job done. So that's
right.
Yes, enough is enough already. So thank you so much for joining us. Sorry again for the interruption. Let's say good morning
no
to our lady, Tamika. Thank you very much. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning and happy hump day. How's everybody doing this morning?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
That's good. That's good. So you hear what I'm starting our conversation with today. I already talked about the law enforcement who is now required or will you know, have to be addressed if they stand around and do nothing. You know, what do you think of this termination of the doorman? Do you think it's too harsh?
I do not. I have a couple of friends that work in security, you know, in those levels, and you never know on a daily basis when you work at security what can happen. You know, it's not an area where you're just going to sit there over time. In some places it is, but you never know when something is going to happen. And with that in mind, you know, even if you're not able to run out, do something, call somebody, you know, have some assistance, you know, something. You know, you are the next level, you know, when it comes to something like that under you know, police, you know, you're the next level under police authority. And so the fact that you would actually sit by and idly watch something and not participate or not try to help or, you know, something, yeah, you know, something, it's about time. It's long time coming. You know, too many people have been assaulted while, you know, people just watch. It's due time, literally.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your comment. We so appreciate it. And let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim Brooks. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, and God bless all of you wonderful women of God. How are you all today?
Fine, thank you. Fine,
doing
thank
well,
you.
Thank you.
Good, thank you.
So, Pastor Kim, you hear what we're talking about today. You know, do you think that terminating these two gentlemen, is that too harsh, or is it something that you feel is rightly deserved.
Well, justice has to be done, you know. I think it's very fair.
Okay, okay. Nice, short, and sweet. Yes, justice must be done.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for, you know, indulging me in our conversation of our news today. And last week, we started off our getting to know her with the questions that the daughters needed to ask in order to get to know who she was, or who she is, rather. And now we're talking from the opposite end. We're talking with, you know, the mothers. Now the mothers, you know, need to ask some questions, and they're saying that these are the questions that daughters are saying that they would like their moms to ask. So we're going to flip the script a little bit today and get that conversation going. Ready, ladies?
I'm ready.
All righty. All right. So they want you to ask, or they feel, I'm saying it right. The daughters want you to ask, what happened in your day today? And why do you think she wants you to ask that, Elder Natisha?
She wants me to ask her what happened in her day today?
Yes. These are the questions that daughters have said they want their moms to ask them.
Okay. Okay. I think, you know, it's sharing. It's sharing and talking about it's establishing relationship, right? When you share how your day went, your interactions, that's one of the ways that you're able to just to share. You're opening up, and it builds relationships. So I think that that's what it's about. It's about building relationships.
Okay. Lady Tamika, what do you think the importance of that question is?
When you're asked that type of question, it's not really a simple thing in that it causes us to stop what we're doing, you know, and it does open up dialogue, you know. A lot of times in a young woman's life, and she's trying her best to be adult-like, you know, a lot of times you take things on, and you, because of the ideal of I'm an adult, there's a lot of things that you don't open up and tell mom, because it has nothing to do with you being afraid of mom knowing, but it's just a matter of I'm an adult, so I'm trying my best to do this thing on my own. And so when mom says to you, you know, how was your day today? What happened today? It causes me to take a moment, think about what's going on, and then actually open up. And a lot of times in just what we do on a daily basis, we're so busy that one moment takes me, you know, away from the busyness so that I can unwind and so that we can communicate.
Okay, okay. Pastor Kim, you know, your daughter is saying, I want my mom to ask me, you know, what happened in your day today? How was your day today? Well, what do you think the relevance of that is?
I think it's a way of a daughter, you know, saying to her mother, you know, I want you to be concerned with my life. I want you to be concerned with what's going on with me, you know. And that's exactly what that's doing. That's a daughter, a mother and daughter having their time, you know, to be able to share and express, you know, the things that are important. You know, I would, as a daughter, you want your mom to, you know, to be concerned with
how your day was, you know, and this is exactly what I do, you know, when, like when my grandkids get in the car, you know, the first thing I do is say is, how was your day?
Okay. Let me just extend this question a little bit, and I think I want to ask, so maybe occasionally, Pastor Kim, is that something that you would have liked your mother to ask you?
Absolutely, because in asking, you know, how my day was, that's saying that you care. That says that you're concerned. That's letting me know that you want to know, you know, how you, and it's a good conversation and bonding piece, you know, with now we're coming to the afternoon of the day, you know, how was your day? You know, did anything interesting happen? You know, how was school? What did you learn? You know, these are good ways to be able to communicate, to bond, to just show that I care about your life. I care about the things that are going on with you. You know, but a lot of times we do in the hustle and the bustle of life and things that we entail, we sometimes miss it. We forget. Even as wives, we do the same thing, you know, with our, and I'm guilty of it, you know, even with my husband sometimes coming home and forgetting to say, well, how was your day at work today? You know, and, you know, I know that it's something that he would want because he'll say, oh, yeah, I had a good day today. Let me know. Okay, you could ask how my day was.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I had a good day. How was your day? You know. So, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Elder Nitisha, is that something that you would have wanted your mom to ask? Why or why not?
So if I'm completely honest, the moment I heard you ask Pastor Kim that question about what we would have wanted from our mothers, my chest got tight. We know that, you know, I've shared the difficulty, you know, the dysfunction of my early childhood. And so this idea of focusing in on what I would have wanted from my mother becomes, it's a sore point for me because it's not something that I ever had with my mother. There's so many things that I wish I would have experienced just as a woman in relation to a mother that I've never experienced. So the question itself can be painful for me because that's not anything that I've experienced. But yeah, I mean, what I have wanted for that level of concern and interest in me and how I think, what I felt, I definitely would have wanted that.
Okay. And pardon me, but here's what happened as Pastor Kim was talking. You know, I went back into why God had me have this conversation with the men and now subsequently have the conversation with you ladies. And one of the things that, you know, we're here to do is to help, you know, those who are listening. You know, to help to be more expressive, help to be more thoughtful. You know, like one of you said, I think it was Pastor Kim, that hustle and bustle of the day. You know, sometimes by the end of your own day, you know, it's not that you don't care. You just don't care. It's nothing intentional. It's nothing malicious. Like, okay, I just need to wind down. And yes, I should have asked how everybody's day was, but I'm just trying to reconcile my own day and wind down and things like that. And I realize how important it is for them to hear us. You ladies and gentlemen have been so transparent. Oh, my gosh. And you're right. You have discussed, you know, at times the tender spot of your experience as a child. And there are other people who are listening who have had that same experience. And there's others who had families that were thriving, but still mom never asked. So you're now with the hope of getting and reaching as many situations as that you know that exist in our listeners. You know, we unfortunately we're touching on some areas possibly that may be a little sensitive more to some than others. So I ask you to pardon me if it does, but in prayer with everybody, whether it's our messengers or whether it's our recipient, our listener, that, you know, there'll be some healing in all of these conversations and many a day. We get wonderful feedback of, you know, I'm so glad somebody had that conversation. So even in our pain and our sore spots, we are blessing so many people. And I so thank you all who minister here through your pain at times. So I thank you. I thank you so much. So let me just, I want to take the time to say that to you all. Lady Tamika, I know this also may be something that may be a little sensitive to you, you know, having this conversation. But, you know, now that mom's not here, you know, how vital, because we need to speak to the people who think mom's just going to be around all the time. Remember a couple of weeks ago we spoke to the millennials who they have no time for mom. They're busy running out the door, you know. So how important is it for us to take the time to say to our daughters, you know, how was your day?
It is completely vital. I remember when I had moved to Georgia, and I had already gone to college, and I was already grown, but with the everyday things that go on, and my mom and I talked basically every day. And it was just so many things that were going on. I was trying to take care of some financial issues. My student loan, you know, they were, like, literally hunting me down, like, every day. It had gotten to the point where almost every half an hour I was getting a call from them. They were literally harassing me, you know. And, you know, I all of the other stuff, I'm taking care of this and taking care of that and doing this and doing that. And my mother just called out of the blue. Normally, we had a certain time frame that she would call. She called me in the middle of the day, and she said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing okay, blah, blah, blah." And I broke. I literally, like, tears started coming down. I was just overwhelmed. But with the whole thing that was going on, I kept saying, "I'm grown. I got this. I'm doing such and such and such." She was like, "I knew it." And from that point, it just opened up so much, like it relieved the stress that she cared enough in the middle of her day to stop what she was doing to literally just, "Hey, baby, how you doing?" And I was just like, she was like, "I knew it." And it was just a beautiful moment at that time. And we talked, and when I got off the phone, we were laughing and giggling, but it's vital because you don't know that 1 second can change the world for your daughter. And vice versa, you know, it can cause, you know, with me being in Georgia and her being in New York, it can cause so much beauty, you know. Even we got even closer from that moment because I was just like, "Thank you. You cared enough to stop what you were doing." And my mom was very busy, you know. She's, you know, she was a preacher and she was always doing something for somebody else. She was extending for everyone else. And she stopped to take care of her child. You know, while you're reaching out to everybody else, you saw to me. And so I thought that was a wonderful moment, and it is vital.
Okay, so now y'all got me all teary-eyed over here. I guess it's making me kind of reflect, and I'm going to jump into this conversation, ladies, if you don't mind. It just makes me reflect on, you know, growing up, and no, I didn't get, I don't remember, let me put it like that, I don't remember getting it. I think if I did, I would remember, and I'm not holding it, I don't hold it against mom, but as I got to be an adult, and as we got closer, as I got to be an adult, she would make sure she called, you know, always make sure you call, you know, "Well, how was your day? How you feeling? You know, how's your body?" Even now she'll say, "I'm 54, and even now she'll say, "You move too much. You need to don't come up the stairs. you know, and that replaces. So I'm speaking to all of you moms who may have adult daughters who you may have never, for whatever the reason is, took the time to say, you know, how was your day? It's never too late. I want to say that before the close of the show. I want to say that now. It's never too late, because even now, she'll hear me come in. I do those stairs real slowly. And she'll say, I didn't want you to come up here. Why you didn't let someone else come up here? And, you know, that replaces in my head, in my ear, that says to me, I know your day may not be going so well because your body may not be well. So don't worry about me. Now, it's a different dynamic, because when your parents get older, you want to care for them. You don't want them worrying about you. But for those of you moms, who, you know, say, just realize in this conversation, you know what? I never had that conversation with my daughter. Wow, all these years have passed. Don't worry. If God has awakened us today, that's why one of the reasons why when I pray, I say thank you, God, for today. Even the telephone, just paying that telephone bill. And thank you for investing in us, because there's no time that God has, you know, given us that we can't turn things around. And in this conversation, I'm hoping, and that's my prayer, is that God has raised these conversations up so that it can help turn your relationship around with your child. Going back to even the exchange with your daughter, your younger daughters, you know, the other day I had to stop mine from running out the door, and I said, do you realize that you don't take any time to just stop and say, you know, hey, Ma, every time I see you, you either whizzing in the door, whizzing out the door, and you tired, you don't want to talk. These things are vital. So these conversations that, you know, we're having, and this conversation today, whether you're the daughter or whether you're the mom, please pay attention, because I specifically grabbed a list of questions that were compiled by the daughters. So these are the things that they want us to talk about. So, you know, hopefully that'll kind of put a little, you know, interest a little deeper or differently. So I'm going to go to you, Pastor Kim, since Lady Tamika spoke last. And she wants for you to ask her what's on her heart. Why are we asking that? Why would that be important? And think about mom asking you, what's on your heart? What does that mean?
That means that, you know, there's some things that are going on, and it's important that you want to know that they're even concerned about the things that are concerning you. You know, you want to know that, you know, wow, you know, she thought enough to even ask me, you know, what's going on with me? You know, what are your thoughts? How are you feeling? You know, it's to me, it's like asking these kind of things. It's almost like a terms of endearment type of question, you know, because it's intimacy, you know, and intimacy is very important, you know. It's relationship. It's building relationship, you know, by asking certain personal things, you know. I need to get all up in your business, you know, because I love you, because I'm concerned about you. I want to know what's going on with you, you know. Tell me your business. You know, basically it's what I'm saying. Tell me your business, you know, because I love you. I'm concerned because you, again, like you said, you have a lot of mothers that don't even, not to say that they don't care or that they don't love their children, but we're in a different dispensation, and time brings on changes. And you got people that came up that tell you that, in my family, we didn't say I love you. In my family, we didn't do the hugging. Mm-hmm. In my family, mm-hmm. you know, it was not the communication. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people go through different things and different cycles also in life. And it's good that you said, Pastor Steph, that it's never too late, because sometimes, just like for me, I might have missed some things as a mother and as a daughter, you know, doing some things, but now I got the opportunity again to
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
I'm doing with my
That's
grandchildren,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I get the opportunity to do the things that maybe I should have done, you know, with my grandbaby, you know? And I thank God for the relationship that I have with her, because even though she went to go spend a night with her mom, you know, and she was going to do school from over there, I just picked her up this morning because she wanted to come back home with me, you know, because I go above and beyond to give her that extra love, you know? And we have such a bond, you know? And when I pick her up from school, I always ask her, you know, how was your day, you know, Bray, you know, and even though I told her I didn't want her to come back home, I said, because you're going to be irritating me, and you know I got to do work, and she said, I promise I won't. You know, so I just, you know, picked her up and just made it back home, you know, for her to do school here, you know, because, again, it's so important, you know, to do these things. They speak volumes. You know, and training up children, you know, it's good to do things while they're younger. But again, even if you don't and you miss it for whatever the reason is, you know, the key is communication. It's vital.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Elder Nitesha, you know, she's asking me what's on my heart. Now this is interesting, because you have daughters in the same age range that I have, my youngest daughter, and you would think that that's not something that they would, you know, sometimes when you ask questions, you just get a little too close. Like Pastor Kim said, you know, you all up in my business. Why you got to ask that question? Why do you think, you know, she's asking, you know, she's saying, Ma, I want you to ask what's on my heart.
I think it's emotional, you know, emotional health and the importance of those check-ins, you know. My ministry is really to be transparent and to be open, and so I'm often intentionally putting things out there in order to really have that heart conversation. Sometimes people can hold things in their heart, and because they don't want to burden you, or they don't feel like it'll be understood. So having those heart conversations, asking, you know, how's my heart doing? I think it's important. Even the Bible tells us that a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but a sorrowful heart causes the spirit to be broken. And I think that's like, that's what many women and young ladies are walking around with. When you look at, you know, young women and you're seeing them hide under loads and loads of makeup and really just putting their body out there, I think there is a broken heart and a broken spirit that, you know, that exists in a lot of our young ladies. And so having that heart conversation, doing heart check-ins, it's important, because it really does, it does more than just build a relationship and develop intimacy, but it also develops self-esteem. It also develops their voice, the ability to share what's on my heart, to be heard, and to give validation to my feelings and validation to my voice. I think really, you know, it's what's so important about that.
Okay. Thank you. Lady Tamika, you know, you're coming from a different dynamic. What's on your heart, Mom is asking, and you want Mom to ask why?
Because when you visualize where the heart is in the body, it's within. So it's not that surface level. And in order to get to the heart, sometimes you have to go through all of this other stuff. And so when Mom is asking you what's on your heart, it's not, you know, your day-to-day, everyday thing. You know, it's what makes you tick? Why do you do the things that you do? What's going on that I don't necessarily see on a daily basis, you know? because we are women and we're emotions, you're going not just for, you know, okay, you see me every day. I get up and I do this and I do that and engage in this and then I engage in that. But what's way down in the bottom? And so the depth down in the deep down bottom, not just what I'm seeing, what's within, you know. And so when mom asks you what's on your heart, you know, she wants to know more than just the surface level. And I think that's really deep intimacy. It's intertwined, and it is vital, because when you know what's in the depth, what's underneath, what's on the surface level, then you understand why I might react this way, or why my disposition is a certain way, or why when you said such and such and such, I reacted a certain way. And so it causes mother and child to be in tune with each other in a way that most don't, or that some don't. I won't say most, but in a way that a lot of times we do not.
Okay, thank you. Well, ladies, we're going to put a nice quick pause into this conversation, because who has joined us? It's Techie Talk time. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? God bless you all.
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. It's good to hear your voices again. Today, okay, in reference to what happens, God forbid, if you happen to spill water or coffee on your beloved laptop. Oh, baby. And it happened. And trust me, Uncle Ben and them is not going to save you. Okay? Uncle Ben's right. Uncle Ben's right. Is not going to save you. The first thing you must do in case that happens, you have to be very quick about it, is you need to turn off the laptop, power it down, hold the button until it shuts off completely, and then if it is plugged in, unplug it. Unplug the power cord. And if you have one of those laptops that have the battery on the bottom, that's detachable, remove the battery. And what you do now is that you have to turn the laptop, you open up the lid, and then turn the laptop upside down. So it looks like an upside down V, if that makes sense. And you rest it on a towel. Okay, you rest it on a towel so that the water can kind of drain downward toward the bottom part of the keyboard area and out of the device, depending on how severe the water is. Now, you have a better chance with water, being spilled more so than you have with coffee or juice, because those are kind of like sticky solutions. So, again, this technique does work with both. But the quicker that you react to it, the better it is. Now, again, if water or juice spilled on it, turn it off, unplug it, open it up, turn it upside down onto a towel, and let it drain. You may have to let it drain for at least about 24 to 48 hours, depending how severe the water has spilled onto the device. They do have, under the keyboard, they have a rubber and a mesh underneath the keyboard that, you know, kind of prevents the water from getting to the circuits directly underneath. But it's still not a safe thing after a while. So you got to react very quickly to get the water out. If you're brave enough, or if you're adventurous enough to open up the bottom part of your laptop, which many of you will not do, but if you're brave enough to do so, you can open it up, and then you could take like a blow dryer and put it on, not warm, but like a light, airy, feature on the blow dryer, and kind of blow dry the circuits and the keyboard and everything to kind of evaporate the water or solutions that's inside of it. It usually works. I've had a few customers that gave me a call. So I spilled water on my device, and I tell them what to do and everything, and it seems to have worked. They're back up and running without any kind of minimal issues with the laptop at all. But again, if you get stuck or if anything happens, please reach out to Dwayne McLeese at 646-361-4698. That's Dwayne McLeese at 646-361-4698.
All righty. Thank you, Dwayne. I'm sure a lot of people will find that one very handy. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. You're so welcome,
sis. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. God bless.
All right. God bless. All righty. Ooh, how many people is that going to save? That little piece of advice right there. Okay. Well, we're so blessed to have our little tech information each week. And now we're going to resume our conversation of, you know, the daughters have made a list, or someone has made a list of what the daughters, you know, would like mom to ask her. And as I was looking over my list, I caught this one. Where would you like to visit if you could go anywhere? Let's start with you, Lady Tamika. How important is that one?
Well, my mom and I, we were travelers, you know. So I got the privilege of being able to cruise for many years. We started in 1993. And my mother left this world in 2014. So the last time that we were able to do anything was 2012. And so just being able to be exposed to something different, there's an energy, there's a laugh, there's a, you know, you communicate better. And there's so many different things. Even from then, I learned that I'm a bit of a thrill seeker. And so just having that, you know, as a memory is a wonderful thing. But to talk about it, I don't know. I think we were more doers, you know. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? We planned it and we went. And so I think it was a good thing. It was a beautiful thing. And it's a memory that you can treasure lifelong.
Okay. Pastor Kim, she says that she wants you to ask her, where would you like to visit if you could go anywhere? What's the importance of that conversation?
I would be, you know, I think that the importance of that conversation of asking, you know, where I would like to go, it's like a conversation again of an interest of finding out the things that I like and the places that I would like to go, you know, just intimate, you know, conversations, you know, probably, you know, to even get to know, you know, each other better, you know, knowing the different places and the different thoughts that you might have in your mind and the desires that you might have to go to different places in the world or in life. You know, these are things that you're letting each other know, you know, some of the things that you desire, you know, to do in life, you know, with the hopes and possibilities that someday you can make huge impact. You know, so I would think that would be the purpose of just having that conversation because, you know, even in this day and time, life is so short. You know, when you think back to conversations and, you know, different things, this is why it's important to create memories. This is why it's good to have conversations. You know, God forbid if any of us are here, you can remember the times of, well, I remember us having this conversation and she said that, you know, she wanted to go to Paris. You know, Paris was somewhere that she wanted to go in the world and that was something that I anticipated us doing. You know, so again, just in having these conversations, it just, you know, gives you
a greater understanding, you know. And I was thinking about, even as you were asking the previous question about us and about, you know, the what's on your heart. You know, when you think about, I thought about that scripture that out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaketh, you know. And the things that you say, you know, is telling you the things that are in your heart, you know. So this is why it's just good overall to have open conversation and ask different questions.
Okay. Thank you. Elden Aitisha, you know, if you could visit anywhere, where would you go? What's the relevance? How important is that question?
I think it's dreaming together, right? I often, you know, say, like, come up with opportunities to go get hot chocolate. There's a bakery that we like, me and my daughter. And so we'll go and get cookies and, you know, hot chocolate or whatever have you, to just talk about what their hopes and dreams are. And it gives them space to explore, and it gives me the opportunity to encourage them and to let them know that that's not, you know, outside of their reach, that they absolutely can obtain, go wherever they want to go, be whoever they want to be. So it really is just that space and that place to be able to dream. And I think, you know, with your mother, it's a safe space. It's a safe place. It's a safe place to just explore, right? You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to say the right thing. You can really just be authentically yourself in the midst of those conversations. And you're able to just say, Mom, I'm thinking about this. And I'm, you know, wanting to do this. And you, it's a safe place to explore and to dream.
Okay. She says she'd like for you to ask, what are the things that make you angry? Pastor Kim, when you even think about your mother asking you that, you know, what comes to your mind? You know, why is Mom asking me what kind of things make me angry? Why would that be important to you, coming from your mom?
Well, it would be important to me because, you know, coming from my mother, you know, she and I, we talk about everything, you know. And my mother being my mother, I think that she, for the most part, knows me pretty well. But sometimes, again, it's just good to have different conversations about different things, you know. What irritates you, you know, what ticks you off, you, what makes you mad. You know, I could just see us just sitting down, you know, just having a conversation, you know, just to talk about something, you know, just a different topic of something to talk about that will eventually, you know, open up for us to talk about other things, you know. And, you know, because I once heard somebody say, the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask, you know. And sometimes we might seem like something might not, it might be irrelevant, it seem like it might not make sense, it might seem like it's something stupid to ask. But at the same time, you know, if you don't ask, you don't know, you know. So it's just good to just, you know, because I don't care how long you've been around somebody or how close that you and someone might be, it's always things that you can find out about that individual, you know, or about your children that you, you know, you might think that you know everything about them, but, you know, it's just good to ask. It's just good to ask, just to have, you know, good conversations and to communicate about different things and to get to know each other better.
Okay. Elden Aitisha, you know, she wants you to ask her, what are the things that make you angry? Now, why would she be asking you something like that? What do you think?
I think that connects back to that heart question, You know, it's, again, an opportunity for her to be able to express her heart, to talk about her personality, to say, hey, you know, when a mother asks her daughter, what makes you angry? Again, you're giving your daughter her voice. You're allowing her to find her voice. You're allowing her to tap in, to connect with herself, to be able to explore. And sometimes, you know, we discover, like, the answers to some things. We're able to see our flaws. We're able to see, you know, why what makes us angry shouldn't make us angry, or whether it is valid that it makes us angry. And then we're able to explore how to deal with that anger. And so I think, you know, the reason why a daughter would say, Mom, ask me that question, is because she's saying, I need a place to talk about this. Things make me angry. People make me angry. The world makes me angry. And I need a safe place to be able to explore this, to voice this. I may not be able to say it to my supervisor at work. I may not be able to say it to my teacher at school. I may not be able to say it to my spouse. You know, I may not be able to actually act out. But if I can have a place where I can at least talk about my anger, it lets it out of me. It lets it out of, you know, out of their hearts. And then they can go back into the situation and they can deal with a calmer head. They can, you know, we can give them the word of God, you know, that says be angry, but sin not. Like, there's, you know, there's so much that I think that our daughters are looking for us to give them in asking that question. It really becomes a place of saying, I need a safe space to be able to just explore all the elements of who I am and my personality. And I need ways to understand what to do with this. How do I cope with this? How do I master this anger?
Okay. Lady Tamika, what do you think the importance of what makes you angry, or the things that make you angry? Well, what's the relevance in that?
Well, I kind of have a funny way around to getting to my point. My mother was a yeller. I mean, she yelled about everything. Like, you know, it's just, that's just how she was. You know, she didn't mean any ill will. I mean, she would yell good morning, you know. And, you know, me living in the house with her, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'd be in the house, why are you so mad? You know, you want to ask her, why are you yelling all the time? Well, you know, and we actually did have a conversation about something along those lines, because she said, you don't react to anything. I said, what? She was like, you don't react, you don't yell, you don't scream. You know, I'm like, well, I have different ways of reacting to things. You know, a lot of times with parents and with mother and daughter, you know, think that, okay, well, you should react this way. No, I'm different. And so when you start talking about what makes you angry, so what makes you angry as mom doesn't necessarily mean that it makes me angry. I don't, you know, respond to that thing because it doesn't bother me. You know, a lot of times she would say to me, nothing affects you. Yes, it does. I just don't react to it the way that you do. And so when you find out what makes me angry, then you understand that, okay, that made you angry, but it didn't make me angry. And so you fine-tune the individuality between mother and daughter. Yes, and I'll tell you, I look exactly like my mother. You know, if you were to look at a picture of my mother in the past around the same time that I am, you would see her. I look just like her. However, my reactions are different, you know, and things that affect you and get your goat don't bother me. And so when the conversation is opened up, then you understand, okay, she's not really affected by that. That really did. And when you as a mother, as Mother Hen, are looking down at your child and thinking, oh, God, she's hurt by that, she's not. You know, and then sometimes you don't realize that something may have affected her. And so when you open up that dialogue, it makes it easier and you understand, oh, my baby is affected. And at that point, you know, you can communicate even better or deeper with it.
Okay. She's also adding to the list. What did you like about that movie? Now, that's an interesting one, especially for me. well, what did you like about that movie? Elder and Tisha, well, what is that saying to your daughter when you ask that question?
That's really me wanting to know how you think. That's dealing with your intellect. That's dealing with your interpretation of things, right? Do you have the ability to, do you see things empty as half full, or do you see it as half empty? You know, it's getting your perspective, because, you know, oftentimes, and in my family, I can be considered, when it comes to movies, like I have, I can be the slow one with grasping what's actually happened in the movie. So I'm usually the one that's asking all the questions to everyone. I'm like, well, what? I don't understand. What was the point? What's the point of the movie? and so, you know, in asking that question and sharing, you're like, oh, and then, you know, I become intrigued and proud with listening to my daughters. It helps me to really broaden even how I look at them. And sometimes, you know, we can look at people from one perspective, and if they are not functioning the way that we think that they should be functioning in one area, we tend to kind of allow that to create the whole scope of our perspective of them. But when you ask questions, and it may seem like, you know, it's nothing, but to ask someone, you know, something we just read, something we just watched, something we just heard, and to ask them their perspective, it really does give you great insight into how they think and how deeply they think. Are they a shallow thinker? Are they a deep thinker? How well did they comprehend this? And to hear some of the insights, like, I think it makes you smile. To be able to hear how, you know, your daughter is thinking about life and looking at things. And I think asking that question helps to explore that.
Okay, okay. Oh, Lady Tamika, you know, what did you think of that movie? Why? Why would she want you to ask her about that?
Anyone that's really listened to the broadcast knows that I'm not really much of a movie buff. But I can use it on things that we read, you know. She would ask, you know, questions about things that we read. Even sometimes we would read the Bible and she would ask me, you know, how do you feel about this? And that dialogue opens up, you know, where, again, what makes me different? How do I look at it? What is my perspective? My perspective may not be identical to you. And it causes the dialogue to get even greater, you know, when you look at, for me, it was books. You know, when you look at a book and you read it and, you know, how did you feel about this and this character, you know, it helps you engage even deeper in it, and it creates a greater bond because you understand how I think and vice versa.
Okay, okay, okay. Pastor Kim, you know, she says, hey, Mom, I want you to ask me, what do you think of that movie? What do you think she's getting out of that, of you asking her that?
You know, I was thinking about, you know, how, you know, all of our daughters are different, you know, and where you might have one daughter, for her to say that, you know, or to even, you know, to conversate about a movie or whatnot, would basically... You know, I'm thinking about the older daughter that I reunited with, you know, and how she and I are still, like, going through bonding. And a lot of times she'll, like, tell me different movies, you know, or I'll even call her and say, well, what's a good movie to watch or whatever. And then, you know, she'll say, well, okay, well, I'll watch this one or whatever. And then when I watch it, we'll come back and we'll talk about, you know, about the movie. And so, you know, in asking, you know, about a movie, you know, it makes you almost see how much that the two of you are alike, or the things that you both have in common, you know, as mother and daughter, you know. So I would think that, you know, that would be a good thing when you can say, wow, you know, that part of the movie was something that, wow, that part right there was the very part, that was the part for me. You know, that was the part that I really, really liked, you know. Oh, my God, I like, you know, especially when you like the same kind of movies, like me, I like the tearjerker movies. I love, have any of you ever watched the movie The Notebook? Oh, my goodness, I can watch that movie over and over again. Oh, my goodness. So those are my kind of movies. I like those kind of movies. And so for she and I to be able to discuss, you know, different kind of movies, you know, like what we like, the romance, you know, we like the love, and we like the intimacy movies too, you know. And so I think that's cool that we, she and I can, you know, see how much that the both of us are so much alike, you know, and what we have in common. And I think that's always a good thing when you, you can see that you are your mother's child, you know, because you're alike, you know, you have the same likes and the same dislikes. You have a lot of the same characteristics, you know, you think alike. You know, you think alike, you know, the same things that make me angry make you angry. So in conversating about these different things, it makes you see how much how the bloodline is and the genealogy is so real, you know, when you see that, you know, that you have, that God can make two people so much alike, especially when it's a mother and daughter, you know. It's a wonderful, awesome thing, you know, just when you can see those different things and you can see how much that you all are so much alike. It's a blessing.
Okay. Well, ladies, we've come to our closing. And the final question that I'm going to bring up today is, do you know how much I love you? That's what she wants you to ask her. So in your closing, just say what you want. I'll leave it open, but that's what she's saying she wants you to ask her. Lady Tamika.
Okay, so it is the child asking the mother, do you know how much I love you, or the other way around?
No, the child wants mom to ask her, do you know how much I love you?
Okay. So I think I was transparent recently along those lines, in that that was one of the most healing moments with my mom and I. And I was grateful to have that moment. And because when you're an adult child living with your mother, there are differences and there are issues. And sometimes you don't always see eye to eye. We struggled at one point because the problem was that she didn't see the difference. You know, she wanted me to be like her. And there were a lot of areas that we were alike, but then there were a lot of areas that we weren't. And so it was just stop struggling, stop pushing me to be who you want me to be. I am who I am. And when she just literally resigned and said simply, do you know how much I love you? That's what opened the door of healing, because we were two different individuals when it came to reactions. You know, I was very calm and mild-mannered, and I handled things the way that I felt they would be. And she kept saying, well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And I was like, because that's not me, you know. And so when she took a moment and just stopped struggling and just said, do you know how much I love you? It was the most beautiful moment. And I recall we were in the kitchen. And she had stopped her cooking. She stopped everything she was doing just to say that. And I got up from where I was, and I hugged her. And we cried, and we hugged, and we cried. And it was just so beautiful. It was refreshing. It was replenishing. And nothing else was said that day, literally.
because it was necessary for healing. And I encourage anyone, you know, whether it's child or mother, take the time. It's vital. Because those things are what you'll look back to when the moments get rough. And if you're living the life like I am, who, you know, I currently don't have my mother, that's the memory that I most cherish.
Okay, okay. Thank you, thank you. Pastor Kim, you know, daughter wants you to ask her, you know, do you know how much I love you? And what's your closing?
You know, I think that sometimes we just feel like that because they're in that mother-daughter relationship, we just assume that our children know how much we love them, you know, and we think mm-hmm. that that's something mm-hmm. that should go without saying, you know. So, you know, mm-hmm. okay. I thought she should know how much I love her. You know, I show her all the time, you know. But words have power, you know. And, again, sometimes, you know, in life, you know, we wait until something drastic happens or, you know, or we're pushed into a situation to where we have to use those three powerful words, you know, that I love you, you know. But, you know, I think that we should allow certain things such as this, you know, platform and this day and this conversation to allow us to realize that it's important, you know, that even though we might show it, it's important that we say it, you know, and we allow the Holy Spirit to give us that opportunity to seize the moment to be able to just look our children in the eyes and tell them, you know, not only do I love you, I need you to understand how much I love you. You know, I need you to understand that as a mother, you know, and you being my daughter, that I, you know, that I truly love you so much. You know, I love you, you know, almost more than life, you know, and it's life-changing. Like my sister just said, you know, that was a life-changing moment. Sometimes we don't even understand how bad that our daughters might need that, you know, because sometimes they might be looking for love in the wrong places. You might be looking for a man to love you. You might be looking for validation in people and friends and different things, but just in knowing that my mama told me, do you know how much I love you? That is life-changing. That speaks volumes, you know. And so, you know, even for me, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, wow, you know, whenever I get the opportunity, you know, I want to make sure that I go to the depths to tell my daughters how much I really and truly love them. You know, because tomorrow is not promised. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. While we are given a new day of grace and mercy, while we have another chance to get some things right, while we have a chance and we have our children still here in the land of the living, if you have that opportunity to tell your daughter how much you love them, do it. Do it. My daughter went to an eye doctor's appointment and found out that she had a tumor a week ago on her brain.
Wow.
Do it. Do it. By God's stripes, she is healed. But guess what? That lets me know that anything can change in the course of a day. You don't know if you're going to get the opportunity. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold because we're living in a time of such uncertainty, time. So we just have to do it while we can. Tell that daughter that you love her today. Tell her how much you love her. It's vital.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Elder Nitesha, you have the final say today. How are we wrapping this up? Tell your daughter. She wants to know. She wants to hear you say, do you know how much I love you?
The first 6 months of my salvation, coming out of brokenness and having all the walls up and everything that I was coming out of the street carrying, for the first 6 months of my ability to identify the presence of God, every time I kneeled to pray, the only thing that I would hear and sense was, I love you. And that was for 6 months of this overwhelming feeling that every time I got on my knees to pray, I continued to just hear, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much that I died for you. I love you so much that I sacrificed for you. I love you. And what that did was that literally cracked my heart open and allowed me to invite God into those broken places so that healing could begin. It also, as time went on, that expression of love also increased my capacity for loving others. My ability to love my daughters came out of this idea of expression of love. What am I saying? The reason why our expression of love is so important to our daughters is because it allows their capacity to love others be realized in their own life. This expression of love, I don't think that there is anything more powerful than love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that love is what has continued to carry me on day in and day out. I believe that as a parent, my daughter's yearning, our children's yearning to hear that from us has everything to do with their ability to face the harshness of this world, their ability to forgive, their ability to bounce back. Right? We don't often connect those to that idea of love, but when you are loved, you're not afraid to take risks. When you are loved, you're not afraid to step out in your own right and to explore, to go after things. When you feel loved and supported, it enables you to walk out into the world. Right? Like my daughter's making a decision to leave home and to go and pursue things that God has called them to. I take pride in that because what that says to me is I loved you so well because of how God loved me. I was able to love you so well that you now have the strength necessary to walk out in this world, and regardless of how the winds are going to blow in your life, regardless of how harsh it may seem, you know that your mother loves you so much that even if you make a mistake, you can always know that mom got you. That regardless of what this world offers you, your mother got you. And guess what? My ability to be their mother is because even if I fail as a mother, God got me. That even when I make mistakes as a mother, I can say, Father, I may not have done this right. I may not have said this right, but I trust that you love them more than me. And so you can pick up the pieces that I've broken. You can pick up whatever I've messed up. You can fix, God, whatever I have destroyed unknowingly. And so the same thing, it's a ripple effect. The way that God loves me so effectively and efficiently that allows me to step out, fall, bump my head, and make mistakes is the same way I love my daughters, so that they can step out, they can make mistakes, they can fall, they can bump their heads, but guess what? They can get back up again because love picks you back up again. Ah, and so that's my final word is to every mother. That statement that Pastor Steph made that is so powerful is that it is absolutely never too late. I don't care if your daughter is 60. I'm telling you that she is yearning to hear you say, do you know how much I love you? Because I never, at the age of 45, I never get tired of hearing my father tell me how much he loves me. I lean into worship just so that I can be reminded that I can continue on in the difficulties of life. Why? Because my father loves me. And because he loves me, I can face anything this world offers me. I can face anything life sends my way.
Love is the most powerful emotion that there is. It destroys yokes. It tears down strongholds. It destroys the hardness of hearts. It brings down all of the harshness that this world tries to influence our daughters with. Tell her. I mimic everything that my sisters have just said. The urgency that Pastor Kim just gave you, I mimic that. And I say, please, tell your daughter, tell your son. I know we're talking about daughters. Tell whoever. Let them know. Express love and express love to yourself and be willing to receive it from the one who loves you most, and that is your Father.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. As you have navigated lovingly and so wisely through these questions that our daughters have expressed, that they want you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Bless you, ladies.
Thank you.
You too.
Alrighty. We have come to the end of that segment and on to our closing with our Pastor Charlene Beard. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good today. Thank you.
Okay. So we're talking about these conversations that we need to have with our daughters. And there's some fear that always finds its way creeping into our life in all the areas at one point or another. You know, give us our faith over fear segment in that area for today as we close down.
Amen. I was just getting a little emotional. So the fear part is that you don't want to be able to come and speak to your daughters openly, or the daughters don't want to speak to you openly because they are afraid of what the response is going to be. I thank God for what all my sisters have said, because, you know, us as mothers, you know, you want to be able to have that relationship. You don't want to be able for them not to come to you openly, you know, and lay their heart down to you. You know, you want them to be able to be very transparent with you and you with them, you know, because one of the things that if we don't do it with them, then they will find someone else to go to that don't really care for them like that. You know, they might start off showing that love that they, you know, I'm there for you. But as a mom, you know, you should be the ride and die with them, you know, be able to stand on anything that come at them. So in our fearful part, you know, I don't know what mommy's going to say. I don't do this that well. I don't know how to express myself. But just be able to be you, you know, so we're there in that area. We're able to build each other up in conversation. You're actually helping each other, building up. You know, you express, I'm expressing, you know, some things that, you know, we do have, might have a life, but we deal with it differently, you know, and where that your way might not be wrong and my way might not be wrong. It's just our personality. So you want to be able to have that and be able to have that love, that safe place, you know, where that you can embrace them, you know, cry with them, you know, crack jokes with them, you know, let them know that, you know, I'm here. And I'm talking about, you know, especially as being a grown children, you know, one of the things that always had struggled with me was because I didn't have that safe place where that I was able. So I will always try to go and find another mother adult, you know, and place them there, you know, but there is none like your own biological mother. We all have issues that we have dealt with growing up with our parents being there, not being there, you know, or whatever, you know, but we try to do the best that we can. And you're right. We still have time. We still have time to get it right. We still have time to wrap our arms around them, you know, and just be there. Sometimes you might not even want to be say anything. You know, you just might need that mother hug, you know, or come sit right here. You know, I remember even being an adult where I wanted to just lay your head on their lap, you know, just for that safety, you know, of feeling that, you know. But now, you know, if it's missing, which my mom is not here, which is missing, you can go in and get in a fetal position and lay and, you know, and rest your head in Jesus' lap, you know. So because he said that he will be whatever you need him to be, and he can be that mother that you need, that motherly hug. But there's no hug like Jesus' hug. So no matter what, be able to express yourself, you know, because we all are different. You know, we can watch. And when I was talking about the movie, it's funny because a person can watch the same movie, but we all going to get something different out of it. And then when we have conversation, you know, I didn't see that part. You saw that part? Yeah, doing this such a scene, you know, and then you have conversation about it, and how would you deal with it? So it's good to be able to have that open relationship. It's good for us to be able just to think, have that girl day out, you know, and just be able to wear that, you know. When I heard Elder Natisha say, you know, they go to this place where they can go and have donuts and stuff. It's their favorite spot, you know, and where that you are just able to release, you know, and no harm, you know, against of how you raised me or what you didn't do, you know, and then you're able to take that and pass that on to your children, you know, or be able to help other children, you know, we'll be able to come, you know, and get that hug and get that love. So I thank God for, you know, us being able to just to step out. So on the fear side, don't be fearful. Just be able to have that conversation. Mom, can I just talk to you? No matter what, don't scream, don't holler, don't be mad, you know, because these are some issues that I want to be able to talk to you about, and know that even through that time, in your faith side of that trust, of that love, knowing that God got us both, knowing that, you know, one thing you do start with prayer, you know, and pray. You know, before you have that conversation, you pray before y'all meet with each other. You pray when you get together, and then you pray when you finish, because prayer opens up the door. You always want Jesus to be in the center of all things. So this way I'm able to hear you. You're able to hear me, you know, and then we got that love that wrap around us, because it'll be your mom, you, and Jesus in the middle, and it'll be like a twine that twines together. And you can wrap it around like, and know that he is able to do all things, and where we're able to sit and talk and be able to have that love and to be able to share it. Because if you ever walk down the street and see a mother and a daughter sometimes, and you can see the love that they have with one another, you know, some people will say, wow, I can see that, how y'all are, you know, combined with each other. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want them to be able to see the Jesus in the both of y'all, that's able to shine up when you walk down the street, and the other people can be able to come, because that's another way of us showing the love of Jesus with each other. So that's my faith over fear on today. Love one another and be able to, and I love you with the love of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Shauna, for giving us a wonderful wrap-up to such a wonderful segment. All right. Have a blessed day.
You do the same.
Thank you. Our benediction today, Revelation 7:12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Ah, that's so much. Oh, my goodness. Between the four ladies, so much really has been rendered and said today. And how do we thank God for such a blessing in having this conversation? You know, as I was listening, you know, we're talking about the dynamics of the difference between mother and daughter, and how you can use these things and how God uses these things to bring out the differences, but yet the similarities, as Pastor Kim talked about. I had the same conversation with the men, and boy, was it different, just different, just even a male and a female, how they think on these questions and the information and the stuff that they want to get across to daughters versus what you want to get across to your son, and the way the male mind thinks versus the female mind. And you look at how vast God is, but at the end of the day, how he can bring it all together. And, you know, this whole conversation has made me think of, you know, motherhood and how I've, you know, done the job and some of the areas where I may have missed, and some of the areas that I have done well in. You know, like I've said, you know, I have three girls, and ooh, you talk about the difference. Oh my goodness, did not very, very, very little similarities between the three, and you know, I'm down to the last one. You know, that you're really just getting these conversations in with, and the older two were different. You know, and this one here, you know, we could sit down and watch a movie. You know, I could get them to watch a movie with me. The youngest one's like, nah, she ain't got no time. We don't look at the same movies. And, you know, so it kind of prevents you, based on your daughter, it kind of prevents you from having certain conversations. But have no fear. Have no fear. You know, God will make room for this to happen in all of our lives if we stay prayerful and we move, you know, as the Spirit leads us. Because God knew who we would give birth to. He knew that no matter how much we invested in them, how much love we may have given them based on what we may not have been given, you know, we go that extra mile. Pastor Kim said, you know, with her granddaughter, she pushes, you know, to do just that extra, that maybe, you know, she's not even getting, the granddaughter's not even getting from her own mom. And that's because Pastor Kim has been around the block already. Mom is just going around that block for the first time. So, you know, she's not going to know the same thing that Pastor Kim knows. You know, but have no fear. Again, as I say, it's never too late. You know, as long as God wakes us up, we have that opportunity to get it done differently. And we have the ability to get it done, period, at all. You know, and sometimes we feel like, dang, I missed the mark. Well, guess what? Get up and try again, especially when it comes to your children, especially when it comes to these questions that daughters are desiring that we ask them. How often do you get this blessing that you don't have to wonder what they want to know or what they need or what they, you know, have the desire for? We're getting this firsthand. And what better place than a platform of God's people speaking? Oh, it's not from the world. The world can tell us a whole lot of stuff to do. And as though it may not be like the worst thing in the world, it's still not the best thing in the world. But coming from God's people always gives that extra touch of blessing on top of it. So take heed to everything that's been done, because God has definitely pulled out the guns today. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss the matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for doing such a fabulous job today. I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind you that you want to put some extra thought and make sure you give your life to Jesus right now, because later is not promised to us. I love you so much. Have a blessed day.